I waited until this second Sunday in Advent, the Sunday of Peace, to talk about the apostolicity of the church, because the home to which we are headed as we continue in our homecoming theme is that we're headed to a kingdom of peace. We're going to hear again on Christmas Eve the words of the angels as they shouted and sang in the sky, "Peace on earth, goodwill to those on whom God's favor rests." This message of peace is the message that we as a church are called to proclaim. The way of peace is the way that Christ called us to live. In order to talk about the church as apostolic, we need to know what that means and what is an apostle. Well, the simple definition of an apostle is one sent. When Christ commissioned the 12 disciples before his ascension, they became apostles. They were sent out into the world. But they're not the only apostles who are named in Scripture. We have Apollos, who Paul is referring to in our 1 Corinthians passage today, Barnabas, Timothy, James, the brother of Jesus, Silas, Epaphroditus, and Andronica are listed as apostles, as is the one female apostle listed. Her name is Junia. Surely there were others as well. But some say that simply being sent is not a strong enough definition of what it means to be apostle, but that there were other qualifications that are mentioned in Scripture. Three specific marks of an apostle, which are being an eyewitness to the risen Lord, doing signs and wonders, and being chosen by the Holy Spirit. Some people say that because these are the three marks of an apostle, that apostles don't exist today. But I can tell you that Jesus Christ is still appearing to people in dreams and visions, sometimes in person. There are plenty of people who this happens to who are obviously called by the Holy Spirit. And some of those can do signs and wonders, miracles or healings and exorcisms. If we use this stricter definition of apostle, however, we will see that the gift is fairly rare compared to other spiritual gifts. And it probably is. When Paul lists the various spiritual gifts in Scripture, apostles is the first one listed. That would indicate that it is not as common. Not many people are called to be apostles. However, that does not stop the church from being apostolic, and it does not get each of us off the hook of Jesus' command to be part of fulfilling the Great Commission. We are still those who are sent. Because the church itself is apostolic. In our gospel reading today, we hear again the passage where Peter proclaims that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. This truth claim, says Jesus, is the very claim upon which he said, "I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it." In our second reading, Paul reiterates that the foundation upon which he is building and he used to build that church in Corinth was the foundation of Jesus Christ. He says, "If anybody else tries to lay a different foundation, that's not the right foundation." But he and then Apollos after him are building upon that foundation. Paul started, Apollos came in, and he says earlier in that in 1 Corinthians that I planted and Apollos watered is how he puts it. Each of us continues to build, Paul says, and our building materials are either worthy building materials, precious stones, gold and silver, or not so good. And they will be burnt up when Christ returns and we stand before him. But we will not be burnt up, he says. Starting with Christ as the foundation of the church is absolutely critical. Without it, a church can't really be called a church. The church, by its definition, is one that is built on the truth that Jesus Christ is Lord. Thomas Torrance says that the apostolicity of the church has to do with the continuing identity of the church as the body of Christ and time and space. The early church father Irenaeus taught that if Jesus is the foundation of the house, then the pillars of the house are the gospel and the spirit of life. According to Torrance, Irenaeus taught that only through union and communion with Christ and its faith and mission, not through its own piety, the church is continuously sustained. We can't leave the foundation that Jesus Christ is Lord. The church is apostolic in that it has continued through the ages and has continued to continue through the ages until Jesus comes again. As Torrance puts it, it's through the faithful transmission of the preaching and teaching of the apostles that the church itself is constantly renewed and reconstituted as Christ's church. This foundation of Jesus must never change if we're going to remain the one true, holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. But the way we proclaim the truth of Christ can change and may change. Jim and I heard a speaker at the Theology Matters conference this fall talking about that very thing, that the foundations don't change, the truth claims don't change, but our methods might change. They might need to change. And even using the early church as an example of how quickly they innovated and adapted to the technologies of their day or the ways of communicating of their day that made sense to help reach people for Christ. Methods of worship, proclamation can change. Technology based on culture, language, etc. And that's what's so great about the gospel is it's translatable into any culture and into any language, and it still can remain the gospel. But what we proclaim must remain the same if we're going to be faithful. Thomas Torrance expresses that in their writing of the creeds, the church fathers wrestled with the Holy Scriptures to express what they were compelled to think and hold within the context of the apostolic tradition under the impact of God's self-revelation through the Word and the Spirit of Christ. On that basis alone, to confess their faith in the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. What we have in the creeds is the foundation of our faith. When we teach the creeds, when we recite the creeds, then we are being apostolic. We're continuing in the apostolic tradition. We're proclaiming the faith. We're passing along the faith. But just reciting creeds isn't the fullness of what it means to be an apostolic church. Jan Lachman points out that the church is essentially an eccentric community, or it is not the church. This isn't E-C-C-E-N-T-R-I-C, eccentric, as in strange, but eccentric, E-X-C-E-N-T-R-I-C, in other words, outwardly focused. The church doesn't grow by only preaching to the members that it already has. The apostles planted new churches because they were sent out. The church, in its apostolic function, is sent out. We leave these doors each week, and we go out into the world. It has been said that the church is the only organization whose mission is focused on its non-members. In 2011, the Book of Order of the PCUSA was changed from three sections, government, worship, and discipline, into four sections, foundation, government, worship, and discipline. We added the F section. What we did is we made the G section smaller by pulling out certain things and sticking them in F, because we said, these are the things that are the foundation of our faith. This is what makes us who we say that we are. These are the things that we want to hold on to. And since that time, the government section has been radically altered. The worship section has been radically altered, for better and for worse in both cases. And the discipline section has been amended and is now under review for a big rewrite. But that foundation section has remained the same because we said these are the things that we believe. These are the things, the fundamentals of who we are. And in that Book of Order, we have a section on apostolicity, as well as on the other three marks of the church, This is who we are, and this is what we believe. This eccentric focus on the church, this outward focus on the church, is heard in the text. Our book of order, F-1.0302D. You will never think that the book of order can be inspiring, but I'm going to tell you right now that it is. It says, apostolicity is God's gift to the church in Jesus Christ. In Christ, by the power of the Spirit, God sends the church into the world to share the gospel of God's redemption of all things and people. Because in Christ, the church is apostolic, it strives to proclaim this gospel faithfully. The church receives the good news of salvation in Jesus Christ through the testimony of those whom Christ sent, both those whom we call apostles and those whom Christ has called throughout the long history of the church. The church has been and is even now sent into the world by Jesus Christ to bear testimony, that testimony, to others. The church bears witness in word and work that in Christ the new creation has begun, that God who creates life also frees those in bondage, forgives sin, reconciles brokenness, makes all things new, and is still at work in the world. To be members of the body of Christ is to be sent out and to pursue the mission of God and to participate in God's new creation, God's kingdom, drawing the present into itself. The Presbyterian Church USA affirms the gospel of Jesus Christ as received from the prophets and apostles and stands in continuity with God's mission through the ages. The church strives to be faithful to the good news it has received and accountable to the standards of the confessions. The church seeks to present the claims of Jesus Christ, leading persons to repentance, acceptance of Christ alone as Savior and Lord, and new life as his disciples. The church is sent to be Christ's faithful evangelists, making disciples of all nations in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, sharing with others a deep life of worship, prayer, fellowship, and service, and participating in God's mission to care for the needs of the sick, the poor, and lonely, to free people from sin, suffering, and oppression, and to establish Christ's just, loving, and peaceable rule in the world. In the preface to that section that I just read you, there's a statement in there which is one of my favorites. In F-10301, after a summation on the church of what it means that we're the body of Christ, that we're given spiritual gifts, that we're given everything we need to complete the mission in accordance with 1 Corinthians 12, it says, the church is called to be a community of faith and trusting itself to God alone, even at the risk of losing its life. We're called to be the body of Christ in the world, even at the risk of losing our life as a church. This it was what it means to be eccentric, outwardly focused, that we're here for the benefit of those who are not yet here. Speaking truth can be costly, but when we think about the home to which we are going, what do we really have to lose? What is it that we have to gain? We gain more brothers and sisters in Christ. We gain more people who are going to journey home with us. Which brings us back to this second Sunday of Advent, this Sunday of peace. To proclaim Jesus Christ in and to the world is to preach the gospel of peace. One of the texts that we often hear during this time in Advent is Isaiah 52, verses 7 through 15. You're welcome to turn there. It is on page 730. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. Listen, your watchmen lift up their voices. Together they shout for joy. When the Lord returns to Zion, they will see it with their own eyes. Burst into songs of joy together, you ruins of Jerusalem, for the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord will lay bare his holy arm in the sight of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth will see the salvation of our God. Depart, depart, go out from there. Touch no unclean thing. Come out from it and be pure, you who carry the vessels of the Lord. But you will not leave in haste or go in flight, for the Lord will go before you. The God of Israel will be your rear guard. See, my servant will act wisely. He will be raised and lifted up and highly exalted. Just as there were many who were appalled at him, his appearance was so disfigured beyond any man, and his form marred beyond human likeness. So he will sprinkle many nations, and kings will shut their mouths because of him. For what they were told, not told, they will see. What they have not heard, they will understand. This passage speaks both of the return of the Lord when Jesus comes again and his coming the first time around. This servant, God's Messiah, we know to be Jesus. This one who was disfigured beyond recognition is going to return in triumph to deliver his people. Salvation is coming. But it starts with how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring glad tidings of good things, who bring the good news, who preach the gospel of peace. Blessed are those who take this message of salvation. Paul picks up Isaiah 52:7 and Romans chapter 10, verses 13 through 15, when he says this. Romans 10, 13 through 15, if you want to look at it, it's on page 1121. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? How can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Paul gives the good news from Isaiah 28:16, that whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. This is a good news for all people that was shouted by the angels to the shepherds. But as Paul says, how can people believe it if they've never heard it? And how can people hear it unless somebody tells them about it? Unless they proclaim it. Unless they are apostolic. Do you want to have beautiful, blessed feet? Proclaim the good news of salvation in Christ, the gospel of peace. And it is as simple as Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. It is the gospel that heals divisions. It is the gospel that changes enemies and turns them not simply into friends, but into brothers and sisters in Christ, into family members. It is a gospel that reconciles people to God. And whether or not the gospel is received and believed, the proclamation of the gospel is an act of peacemaking. You are making peace when you share the good news of Jesus. May Trinity Presbyterian Church fully live into its apostolic calling to proclaim the gospel of peace, to live out peace, to invite people to come home with us. The good news that Jesus Christ is Lord, even if it means losing our life. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you that we know that we have this wonderful home to which we are headed, home forever with you, where we will be living in a peaceable kingdom where all wars and fightings and strivings will cease, where all anxiety will be quelled. And we're all will be reconciled, people with people, people with you, people with creation. All will be at peace. Lord, you have called us to be people of peace, and you have called us to be people who proclaim your peace and make peace in the world. And one of the ways that we do that is by sharing the good news. For it is only you who are the peacemaker. We can make temporary peace, but you make permanent peace. So, Lord, help us to be faithful in the mission to which you've called us, to share the gospel of peace, to proclaim the good news that Jesus is Christ, Jesus is Lord, Jesus is Savior. It is in his name we pray. Amen.